As we've just sung that song, it reminds us of the reason why that we're here this evening, is because we believe in the one true God and that He has sent His Son to die on the cross. And that one true Son went back to prepare a place for the people of God, as John 14, verses 1 through 3 speak about. I want to say before I begin the lesson that this is the Wednesday that we'll be going to the nursing home at the Landmark. This Wednesday at 2 o'clock, we'll be having our services there, and last about 2:40 or so, 2:35, 2:40. And that we want to invite anyone to participate, just come over to the Landmark and be there about 5 or 10 minutes before 2 and be a part of that service. Tonight, we're going to look at a lesson that is very important to the living of the Christian life. We're going to look at the importance of prayer this evening. And I believe that that's one of the greatest things that a child of God has, one of the greatest blessings that God has given us, is the avenue of prayer. That we need to take advantage of the strength that God can give to us in our times of need, especially through the prayers that God, He hears by our hand and by our mouth. We pray those wonderful prayers to His name. We're going to look and see how indispensable it is. You know, some of the songs that we sing, like Sweet Hour of Prayer, and What a Friend We Have in Jesus, that it shows us how much we rely upon prayer, how much it is indispensable to the life of every Christian, that we take advantage of these. And in times when we fail to pray as we ought, I believe it shows in our life, our spiritual walk with God, that it will not be as it ought to be when there is not the prayers offered to God like they should be. And we'll not have all the blessings, the benefits, and all that God would have for us to be in our lives without the avenue of prayer. So we're going to look at tonight the importance of prayer and see how important it really is. I would suggest to you tonight that prayer, the reason why it is so important, is because it is our only avenue to talk to God. And you think about what prayer really is. It is our communication that we have with God. It is our talking to God, because how does God talk to us? He speaks to us through His Word today. And that communication is one-sided through the Word. And that we understand that it's through the action of prayer, through our talking to God, through our prayers, we can have the very ear of God. It's what Peter said in 1 Peter 3, verse 12. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." We know as children of God, we have the ear of Jehovah Himself. Whenever we talk and decide to fall upon our knees or lift up holy hands, the action of prayer is not as important as the words and the communication that we have, even though we have to show the respect of the loving Father that we ought to have for the Jehovah Himself. Speak so to that wonderful God who made us. The God of all the universe can listen to our desires and our needs. And it's a beautiful avenue. You know, it's not through the avenue of any other way that we come to God through and by the prayers that we offer to Him. In Matthew 6 and verse 6, Jesus, while He was here on this earth, He spoke about prayer. And we're going to look at Matthew 6 a few times, Matthew 7 as well. But here the Bible says in verse 6, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, rather, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Jesus is speaking about the times we come to God, and that we have this private time. You know what the contrast here was? There were some who believed they had to make a show out of prayer. That's not the purpose of prayer. It's not to make a show how spiritual we are, like the Pharisees who prayed on the street corner. In verse 5, He talked about that. He spoke to the issue about how that there were some that would do that very thing, make prayer a spectacle. But prayer is to God, and God alone. And we should not try to impress someone with our prayers, but speak to God in the most humble, in the most loving, and most respectful ways possible. And this is the avenue we have with God. It is a, like we sing that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. These are the most special times we have on this earth, is when we can sing that song that talks about what we do. We come to God in prayer on our knees. God sees and knows. He doesn't have to have us in the open. He says, go in your closet. Shut the door. And God sees and knows whenever time that we pray to Him. And so it is our avenue to talk to God. And also suggest to you tonight that prayer helps in times of temptation to deal with those temptations and endure those times of temptation. There's a saying, and it's not in the Bible, but it is a saying nonetheless that I believe it is true. Because it goes like this. 7 days without prayer makes one weak. And I know that's a play on words. What it's saying is 7 days is a unit of time which makes one weak, W-E-E-K. But it also makes us W-E-A-K, weak, because without prayer, we become susceptible to the temptations, to all the things the devil would throw at us. And without prayer as our weapon against that, helping us every step of the way, we would not be as strong as we ought to be without the avenue of prayer. So we've got to make sure it's not 7 days or any length of time more. I believe prayer should be an everyday thing. That every child of God should feel that dependent upon God and that want to talk to God every day. As we say many times, communication is the life force of any relationship. And true it is with our relationship with God. We've got to talk to our Father. He wants us to talk to Him. In Matthew 6 and verse 13, Jesus was talking to His disciples about how to pray. They wanted to say, Master, teach us to pray. And He told them how to pray. And part of that prayer is in verse 13, where He tells the disciples how to pray. And He gives them what we call sometimes the model prayer. And He says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. There are prayers today I've heard in many assemblies that talk about the fact that we need to ask God for help in times of temptation. Help us, Lord, to fight off the fiery darts of the wicked one. Do all we can to stand strong, having done all, as Paul says in Ephesians 6, having done all to stand. And that means putting on the Christian armor, wearing each piece, and all of that is done with prayer, so that we be led not into temptation. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, he says, but God is faithful, will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. You know, I believe one of the ways we escape temptation is going to that sweet hour of prayer, going to our knees in times of temptation. We need the Father. We need His blessings. We need His help in to fight off the fiery darts of the devil. In Matthew 26 and verse 41, Jesus is talking to His disciples, and here the Bible tells that He told them to watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. You know, that's part of our watching is our prayers to God. Is how we have that communication with God. We read His Word and study His Word. We also talk to God. And that'd be a less of that help in times of temptation if there were not prayers offered to God. But in Hebrews chapter 4, I want to read what the Hebrew writer says. In chapter 4, verse 14 beginning, he says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now, what's his point in verse 15? And we have this high priest that we go to God in prayer, and he's part of that to the Jehovah Father, that He gives our prayers to God. And that He is a high priest that knows what it's like to be tempted like you and I are today. He lived among us. The Hebrew writer's point is, He's not someone who doesn't know what it's like to be tempted. But yet He was without sin. Verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I love that verse because it talks about the action of prayer. How we can have the throne of God by our prayers. We go before Him and we talk to Him about the needs that we have. And we are tempted. I believe we need to go before the time of the throne of grace to find help in that time of need of temptation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5, Paul speaks about the relationship between husband and wives in verses 3 and 4. He talks about how the husband is to render due benevolence to his wife, and all that is what God puts inside of marriage, that relationship, that physical relationship that's special inside of marriage. And he says in verse 5, defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. And come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. And what he's saying is when a husband and wife are going to be apart, they give themselves over to fasting and prayer. You know, we don't generally fast, but we do pray. It's not that we cannot do that. I believe if a person decides to do that as a personal thing, to fast, be a wonderful thing to help them be spiritual. That's why it also it strengthens us, does it not? That's the whole purpose. That temptations will not work upon us as easily if we use prayer like we should. And then God will help us in those times that we are tempted to do things that are sinful. And then I will suggest to you tonight that prayer helps us in times of suffering. And there are several different ways why we would suffer. But here in Matthew 5, verse 44, Jesus says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them." I believe that's one of the hardest things we do sometimes, is to pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You know why that is? Because there's the sting to that. When we're hurting because of things people have done to us or say about us or hurt us in some way, that we need to go to God to and talk to Him about that. You know, we need to avoid anger and bitterness. We need to avoid the clamoring, evil speaking about someone who's done things bad against us. But we need to go to God and say, you know, I want to bless that person rather than curse them. And do good to them physically. If it's possible, do things that will cause them to obey the gospel. Show love to them. And all that's because we have it shows the heart of a true child of God who can get on their knees in times of persecution and suffering and say, you know, I put not my will but thine be done, just like Jesus did. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 12 to 15, I want to go back to the story in the Old Testament of Hannah. Hannah was a woman who had a rival, and she was making her life rather difficult. And Hannah had a husband, Elkanah was her husband's name, and he loved his wife, Hannah. And yet she was childless, and she wanted the child so bad that she poured out her heart to God out of anguish, out of suffering because of what her rival was doing to her. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli," and Eli was the high priest at this time, "that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord." Now I just want to ask you tonight, there's times of anguish that come to each one of us. Sometimes we just have to pour out our heart and say, Lord, help. Sometimes it may just be that one word, help, in times of suffering. And that's what you and I need to do, is to come to God. Take our burdens to the Lord and leave them there. That song makes so much sense when there's times we have those burdens. And so we need to come to God before the very throne of God and leave those burdens and our suffering there with God. In Acts the 4th chapter, when the children of God, the early church, were being persecuted, and how the Pharisees, or the Sadducees rather, they led the charge against because they preached the resurrection. And how it was because they needed that prayer for boldness. In Acts chapter 4, verse 29, the Bible speaks to that, how that they saw the threatenings of those who were against what they were preaching. Verse 29, Verse 29 says this, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. God answered their prayer. He gave them the encouragement by having the place shaken there. You know, I don't think we need to expect that to happen today physically. But we know that prayer, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much to God. That when we come to God in times of suffering, He hears us. Like in Psalm 73 where Asaph says, how does God know when we're suffering? But, you know, we know we go to the book of God. We know to the sanctuary of God. We know that God knows, and that we draw near to Him by prayers. That's the closer we go to God, is the more we pray, closer we are to the loving God. And I love what Peter says about this. In 1 Peter 4, verse 19, he says, "Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator." Those are words of comfort to the child of God, knowing that whatever suffering we have in this life today, God knows, and we commit our lives to Him, we seek Him first, He will take care of us. And I will also suggest to you tonight that prayer is how we ask for our needs. God knows what we need. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says, Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, Paul's saying there to the Philippians, what you and I know, we don't need to be worrisome, but we need to be prayersome and take our burdens to God, take our needs to Him. And there are people sometimes today who worry constantly about things they need and such. And there are times we do need those things. We have many necessities that we absolutely need. But we also know we have the ear of God to help us in those times of need. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, Jesus again said, "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking." That's not how the child of God is heard, by just simply much speaking. Verse 8 says, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him." Someone might say, you know, why do I need to ask God? If He already knows the things that I need, why do I need to ask Him what I need? And I know God does know what we need, because the Bible tells us that He knows. But I believe He still wants us to ask. I believe He still wants us to come to Him with those needs. Because of the relationship we have with Him, the Father cares for His sons and daughters. And He wants us to come to Him, ask us what the needs we have. In Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8, I believe that's the main point of what Jesus said here. He said, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." And I know all that's qualified, but it has to be according to the will of God. In faith, we ask God the things that we need. And I believe this gives us comfort, that if we ask, and we do need those things, it's a necessity. God does hear and knows that we do need those things. And He will give us those things. It may be very well that the reason why God does not answer our prayers in some respects is because of failure to not ask like we should. Especially when it comes to wisdom. You know, the Bible says if we lack wisdom, we need to pray for wisdom. James 1 verse 5. And that's the thing that all of us, I could say, could definitely use. Do we pray like we should for wisdom? I know some might not see the need for it. But, you know, we need wisdom, all of us. Now, some might be just not really knowing that they need that more than anything else. But we need to ask God for it. Ask God for our health. James 5, verse 14 talks about those being sick. We need to pray for our needs in this way, that our health may be restored to us. I believe God's loving to us. And I believe there's times when if we ask God to help us and there are times that poor health and sickness comes, you know, a lot of times there's diseases, there's accidents that happened, they're beyond our control. That we can help ask God for help in those things. And He is maybe the only one who will be able to help in those times. The doctors may not be able to help as they should. But also we need to pray the doctors will be able to help. All of that working together, giving us the health of and needs of our bodies. It may be our necessities. Matthew 6 and verse 11, Jesus said about prayer, remember going back to the model prayer, He said, Lord, give us our daily bread. We need to pray for that. And what that might be is the money that we might need to have, our necessities. To buy the milk and the bread and all that we need in that day. Be able to pay the rent and be able to have a roof over our head. And keep the necessities. Now, notice the difference between necessities and wants and desires beyond that. We don't ask God for things that are beyond necessities, expecting those things. When it is a true necessity, I believe God will answer our prayers about that. And also when it comes to forgiveness, I believe God answers our prayers every time. Just like what in Acts chapter 8, verse 22, when Simon the sorcerer was trying to buy the power of the Holy Spirit with money, Peter told him it was not his part or lot. But he told him to repent and pray to God that perhaps the thought of his heart may be forgiven him. As children of God, we have the ear of God, that we can come to God when we sinned and personally talk to God and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Help me not to do that wickedness ever again. That I want to strive to serve you with all my heart without sin as a distraction in my life. That I can do this with a pure heart, call upon you in prayer. And all that showing us that we need the forgiveness. And I know that because the Bible tells us so. The blood of Christ cleanses us from every unrighteous deed that we do. When we come to God and sincerely ask for forgiveness. In 1 John chapter 5, he says in verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. That's a wonderful blessing, right from the very Word of God, saying that we can go to God and ask Him for the things. That's why prayer is important. It's because prayer is the avenue for all the blessings of a child of God. It is what makes us. Faith, by our faith in Him, is what motivates us and helps us to know there's a God and serve Him. And prayer is a big part of that as well in our lives. We need to pray for the needs of others as well. That's why prayer is important, because we need to pray for others, not just ourselves, but others who have needs. It's not just us that maybe have needs. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, Paul said, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And I believe that's true, isn't it? We need to pray for all men. We need to pray for the kings and governors. You know, we know that we have a president. We need to pray for that man. We need to pray for all that are in charge of authority. But also fellow Christians, even those who are not in the body of Christ. Even pray for our enemies, as we talked about earlier. Pray for those, all men. Why is that? Well, all of us, like we said, all of us get sick. All of us need to have needs. All of us need the blessing of God upon us. And as children of God, I believe we have more of a duty because we know each other personally. We worship every first day of the week. That's why we have to have this unfeigned love of the brethren. We come together. And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, Paul speaks about this, says, in verse 9, Paul was speaking about the church there at Colossae, says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that you might be filled with knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's one reason why he prayed. May know the will of God, all spiritual understanding. Be filled with it. But also in verse 10, another reason says, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Please the Lord and be fruitful. and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. All of that talks about what you and I are as the people of God. We need to pray for each other. We need to be there for each other. And part of that is, have we prayed for those who need? You know, on the board, we'll have people who are shut in or those who are bereaved at this time and those who are needful of our prayers. We'll talk about those things. We ought to be there to help each other and be thankful about we have brothers and sisters in Christ like this. And also, there's times that we need forgiveness, maybe coming before the church and asking forgiveness because we've done something maybe in public that we are ashamed of but needs to be corrected here in the assembly. Here it says in James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I know he's talking about sin sickness here. He's talking about the kind of sickness that person has that cannot go away with medicine without the great physician, Jesus Christ. And also prayer shows our dependence and trust in God. That's why it's so important. Because God wants to know, who do we depend on in times of need? Who do we depend on? Do we depend upon the government? Do we depend upon our families? And we do all of that for some things and to some extent. But we depend upon God more than anything else. God who loves us and cares for us. In Matthew 6, verses 28 to 33, he talks about not being anxious, not worries about things that are necessities. We talked about just a few minutes ago. About the raiment that we wear, the food that we need. He talks about the Gentiles, how they worry and they don't know how they're going to have those things, maybe from one day to the next. But we're not like the Gentiles who know not God, that are without God, who have no hope. We are ones who God providentially takes care of His people. Like David said, I'm young, I've been young, now I'm old. I've never seen God's people begging for bread. You know, that's true, isn't it? God takes care of us if we put Him first. That last verse, 33, says, it makes sense if you put it all in its context, how that God cares for us, He cares for our, will help us with our needs, if we put Him first. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It shows us that who do we go to? God is not a last resort. He is the first resort. He is the first one we need to go to. Some might ask, what is a prayerful attitude? An attitude that says, whatever it is, let's go to God and talk to it, to God first about this issue or problem or whatever we're facing in life. Now, I want to conclude talking just briefly about Jesus and His attitude toward prayer. We want to follow Jesus in His footsteps when it comes to prayer. And I'll tell you, those are some shoes to follow, following the Lord. Because we look in Mark 1, verse 35, it tells us, even before it was day, Christ got up early just to pray. And that shows us how important it was to the very Son of God. Some might say, well, He was the Son of God. Aren't we the children of God as well today? We are sons and daughters in Christ. We are the people of God today. We need to maybe get up early. Show how important it is that we pray to God. Get up early to pray to Him. Or it may be going to a mountaintop or secluded place. Like in Mark 6, verse 46, where the Bible says He went up on top of the mountain to pray. You know, He got away from the crowds. He needed to get away from the crowds to talk to His Father in peace and silence. Be able to have a clear thought. And sometimes we need to do the same. Get away from all the hustle and bustle of life. Turn the TV off, maybe. Go to a secluded place. It may not be a mountaintop. But do we have a special place we go to pray to God? Like our closet or such? Or on our knees before our bed before we go to sleep? Matthew 26, verse 36. Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane right before the cross. You know what He did right before that great trial of the cross? He went to the Father to pray. That's an example for you and I to follow today as well. And before He chose the 12 disciples, before choosing the 12 disciples, He went to God in prayer, His Father. In Luke 6, verses 12 to 16, He tells us He went up to the mountaintop to pray, and after that He come down and He chose the 12. And also that verse tells us He prayed all night. That's how important it was, is that He prayed all night in prayer to His Father. Some might say, well, I can't pray all night. But we can give some time to the Lord every day. Think about how important it is to the life of every child of God. It is a truly indispensable part of our lives. It's one avenue that we cannot fail to neglect and be spiritual like we need to be. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, I'll tell you right now, when troubles come to your life, when there is hardships and suffering in your life, who do you go to? Because you have to serve God to truly have His ear. You know, one of the first verses we said is that God's prayers are open to the righteous. That if we regard iniquity in our heart, what David said, I know the Lord will not hear me. So who do we go to? This is one of the great blessings of being a child of God, is that we have this avenue of talking to God. But you need to be a child of God in order to have all the blessings that God wants to give you and bless your life with. You can start out by faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please Him. We must believe in Him before we ever serve Him all the days of our life. And faith leads us to repent of our sins. Luke 13:3, Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So we do not want to perish. Acts 17:30 tells us it's a command of God that we repent and turn away from our sins. And all men everywhere must repent. Confess the name of Christ, Romans 10:10, and be immersed in water like the Ethiopian eunuch was. How the Bible said when he saw the water, he said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? He said, if you believe with all thine heart, thou mayest. He commanded the chariot to be stood still. And they both went down the water, and he baptized him. The eunuch was baptized that way, went on his way rejoicing. Why was that? Because now he was a child of God. He had been to Jerusalem to serve God. But now, no one has to go to Jerusalem today because God hears our prayers, the sacrifice, the fruit of our lips giving praise to His name. If you're here and subject to God's invitation call, we invite you, we plead with you. Don't put it off. Do what you need to do tonight as together we stand and sing 593.